Andy Favorite is recording now.
And my mother was active with Emily Peake's mother.
Oh.
Yeah.
Were they on the reservation then, or did they live here?
No, they lived in the city. See, at the time that my mother moved down here, she felt that there were more opportunities for Indians in the city than there were on the reservation. Mm-hmm. And this is why she moved down here. She thought possibly education was better. Mm-hmm. Opportunities were better. Mm-hmm. And she's a great believer in the education is the answer to freedom for the Indian people.
Do you feel that that has really been accomplished now with her moving here, that your children got the education?
Well, we were brought up in such a way, I can't say that I really had a problem being an Indian. Like Phillips Junior High School now is a predominantly Indian school. And I would say when I went there that there were probably 6 or 7 Indian kids all together. And there was only one time that I can really remember that anything ever happened in a negative way. And there was a boy in our public speaking class that was really, well, he was nasty to everybody. And he had, on several occasions, said things to me about being an Indian. And I never ever spoke up for myself. But this one day when the teacher had left the room, he made a remark to a girl because he found something personal.
Mm-hmm.
And I chased him around the room and I bent him over a desk and I told him I was sick and tired of hearing him make fun of everybody.
Yes.
And I didn't ever want to hear it again, and I wailed the tar out of him. And he was nice after that.
Was he?
Yeah.
He got what he deserved and took it.
Well, I think he did. He just really perturbed me.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, has the reservation... Has the reservation suffered any because of the Indians that have moved away from?
Gee, I don't think so. One thing that they're doing on the reservations, at least at Hoyt Earth, that I don't like is that they're building homes up there. Have you been up there at Neetawash?
Yes,
seen
I've
those
seen
new
that.
Homes? Do you like those?
I think they're too close.
I think so too. It's just like having a project. I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's better the way they had it before, you know, where
Yeah. They
had a lot of room. Gee, all the trees are down. They're just a bunch of boxes in a row. I think there's about 2 or 3 rows of them.
Oh, that,
and it's
all
terrible.
That land available.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I myself would like to see eventually all reservations be closed reservations.
Would you?
Andy, do you know if there's a staff meeting tonight? I mean, a board meeting?
Everybody seems to be asking that. Ask the
guest body work. What's your tone?
Tell him that you'll call him back when you find out.
Why do you think it would be better to have the reservations closed?
Oh, that's a selfish reason. Because the way the population is growing, we are going to be facing a shortage of space for recreation. And I think if the reservations were closed, Indians would have a place to go.
I have always felt that with the reservations, the older Indians felt they had a place to go. They would always have a place to go to.
Well, now I was born in Minneapolis and raised here, but I always think of home as White Earth.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't want to live there, no.
If we could make it financially, I would.
Mm-hmm.
I would much prefer to live on the reservation.
What do you like about the reservation?
The quietness.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that everyone's not in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
I think here everyone is too busy. It's just busy busyness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they really accomplish that much.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like being on the reservation. And I think that when it comes to the time when we won't be working anymore, I think that's where I'll be.
Mm-hmm.
I think my kids will be there too because they like it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I like to live at the lake. It's the same idea, you see. They like to be where there's freedom. Freedom and no pressure.
Freedom from noise, I think, is at this point of my life, is a big thing.
Yes. Do you know of any Indians? We're talking about the Chippewa.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, Chippewa, that have practiced the Madewawin medicine dance here in this, anywhere in this, away from the reservation.
Does Indian Neighborhood Club practice that, or is that the Sioux, just Sioux religion there?
Mr. Weaver?
Jim Weaver.
Yeah. He said that they do. He said that they have a religious rite, or they go through a religious rite. But yet when I questioned him very carefully, I found out that he was talking about Edmund Goswell's.
Yeah, seeing that
that's
Sioux.
A Sioux.
Yeah, that's Sioux. That's what I was thinking.
You can't mix them together. They both don't do the same thing at the same time.
You know, the Sioux are Plains Area Indians, right. Prairie Area Indians, and their religion on a whole was a sun dance.
Mm-hmm. Right. And this is what they're doing at Indian Neighborhood Club, isn't it? This is their Indian religion.
Not sun dance, but...
The Sweat Lodge.
Sweat Lodge.
Yeah, you know, when I talked to him at the studio the other night, I don't know what I brought. I said something about. I don't know. Something was said about religion, and he made it very clear that he practiced Indian religion. I feel any religion, as long as you follow it the way it should be, is fine, whether it's Indian or not.
I think the strongest one in Indian religion, in the history at least, just reading about them, was their biggest thing was that they let everybody else believe in their own religion. And they respected it.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't try to jam their religion down to anybody else. And if they held on to, like, the Catholic religion and still believed in some of the earlier religions of our people, they still had respect for other religions, and they still respected each religion to itself. And I think this is really a strong point of our people's religion.
Is there much in that now? We say, call them Christian religions now. Now they have Karat and Livril and other sorts of things too. But is there much, are there many Indians who feel they are Christians, but they're also native religion?
I think we've believed this all along. I think it's been transferred to us by our parents,
mm-hmm,
without verbalizing. Mm-hmm. And I think that we've grown up with a respect for our people's religion.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we never were, they didn't verbalize the fact that this is part of your religion. They lived it. They showed it by example. You know,
mm-hmm,
it's so much a part of our whole being that we don't even look at it as another facet of us. Mm-hmm. We are this, and that's us.
I often said when I was working among the Chippewa, the Catholic Church took over so many of these sacramentals, they call them, you know, that they didn't take over the tobacco of the Chippewa Indians. Tobacco was an offering of the Indians toward, well, God, Kichimanito. You know, we can give different names, but it's the same God. The Sioux call him Wakan. Down in the Arkansas Indians call him Chow. It's the same God.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you think... You see what I'm driving at is... Yes. Get going. Anyway, he knows we're busy. See, what I'm trying to get at is, what changes have occurred for the Chippewa since the 1930s? The fact that you have these centers
in the Pipestone is closed, which I just found out was
cool.
Yeah, we sold that to the state for $1. I'd like to buy it back for $1. They could have, but we the Indians
around $40,000 at the time that they sold.
Someone made a lot of money because the Indians sold it to the state for $1.
But even at $40,000, the hospital alone was worth more than that.
Is the hospital gone too?
I haven't been back. I don't know. This is
Would you say that many of the boarding schools have now closed and that the children that would be naturally going to the boarding schools are now going to day schools?
Yeah, I think so.
In the state, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But, you know, there's been a lot of negative talk about the boarding schools. But I've talked to a lot of older people that have gone to boarding schools, and they all feel that... if it wasn't for the boarding schools, they wouldn't be where they are.
Yes. I say that even today. I remember one time I was called to the Indian Bureau in Washington to tell them what I thought of the boarding schools, and I said there are certain children, if you don't put them in the boarding schools, they simply won't have any chance. And those are the children that live way off in the woods. That was before they had buses to bus them in. That was one group. Then the Sisters at White Earth had some that were crippled. You know, they couldn't have come to school otherwise, but there they were now. They were getting an education. Then also those where there was tuberculosis in the home, and they wouldn't be, those older people that were there with tuberculosis wouldn't go to a sanitarium. Well, I didn't think the children, the small children, should be obliged to stay in those homes. So I had four groups that I thought. And then the orphan children. Usually the Indians were very good about taking orphans into their homes, but sometimes not. And then these orphan children were left too. Well, the sisters took them in. And those children could stay with them all through the summer then. Mm-hmm. So I defended the boarding school to that degree. I said, what I couldn't understand is, from what I knew, that that there was not enough transfer from the boarding school to the home. If they taught them to cook in great big kettles in the boarding school, the cooking was perfectly all right. I said, they can't cook that way at home. So we worked that out then. But there were, as you indicate, there are some things that maybe it was institutionalizing the children, but...
Well, the thing that I thought that was bad about the boarding school, but I never went to a boarding school, is the fact that I understand that during my mother and dad's time, the children were not allowed to talk their own language. And this is really bad because I wish I could talk my language.
Yes. Yes. That was bad.
Yeah. Once you destroy a language, you're already crumbling the foundation of a culture.
Yes.
So once that happened, but we're trying, that's why we're trying so hard to build it back up.
And you know what's even bad is that the people that were, that could talk their language, like Chippewa or Sioux or whatever, if these people were fortunate enough to go to college, this was not even considered a second language, let alone a first language.
Yes, I heard that they called it a foreign language.
Yes, then at the university it's called a foreign language, it's under the foreign languages.
Do you know what's exciting about that?
Yeah.
I applied for a job, and they asked, do you speak any other language, you know? I put, yes, Chippewa, because I knew nobody could test me at it anyway. And also, no, I had an underlying reason for doing that. I wanted to be sure and get it across that I was an Indian, because they can't ask you. But I wanted them to know that I was.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's all right. Do you think that that younger generation that's now in college, they identify themselves as Indians?
Yeah, I think they do. In fact, my Lucy, who is very light, she's 6 years old. If you ask her what she is, she says she's Indian. And I wonder how this affects her dad, because he's a non-Indian.
He's the minority in your household. You better
believe it. It's really too bad, you know.
Because that's what happens at our house too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because I know my kids really identify with being Indian, and they don't think of it as being different.
No.
And they're really proud.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And I'm glad.
Yes, that's good.
In fact, Chuck is talking of that. He's going to marry an Indian.
Mm-hmm. Good. Why do you say good? Well, I think my father was born in Germany. My mother was American, born of Luxembourg parentage. And I never hesitate to say that. Why should I? My father was an educated German. Not all of them were, but he was. Mm-hmm. And one time we owned a little town in central Minnesota. The store, the lumber yard, and the elevators, Roscoe. It's in Stearns County. I mean, I think anybody who shies away from what he really is lacks something in his makeup.
The reason I asked you why you thought that was good was because
I like people to stand up for their convictions. I think maybe that's back of my thinking.
I never thought of my marriage as being interracial until the good Father John Darby brought it to my attention.
Well, what was the idea?
He told my husband that every year thousands of men got amnesia and left their families, and this would be a good idea for him to do because
Lord.
We were Indian and he was white.
What's the idea?
So therefore I pray for the good Father, because I think there's something
wrong.
Yeah, you're right.
And I'm glad he's not at our parish.
Oh, well, what parish you going
to? Holy Name. I never went to church while he was there. I tried very hard to like him, but he made it impossible. I think I got the most severe penance from him when I went to confession. And I just don't do things that are that bad.
No.
And what I had done at the time was gone to see that movie by Cecil B. DeMille about the circus where somebody committed suicide, which was a B movie at the time. And I tell you, after I got done with the lecture from him, I really wish that I had done a lot of things wrong. For all the penance I got, I really deserve to have had more fun than that, than seeing a crummy old B movie. That really didn't encourage me to commit suicide anyway.
No, I think some of those fathers, they need some anthropology.
Well,
they need to know that other
people... They need to be sensitized to the fact that we live in this world.
Well, they need to know that other cultures have value too. Where'd he come from? The Irish, were you? I was in Ireland. There's nothing there to be boasted about.
Yeah, he was an Irish.
Sure. Made himself important, but that's about all. We were talking about
religion. You think that they are practicing the Chippewa, the grand medicine?
The Chippewa thing, I think a lot of it has come down as just our natural way of life. I never really realized how Indian I am until I got involved with, you know, the center as much as I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see more and more that I am. There's a lot of things that I just took as being, well, they're natural, but I mean, I just took it as being, just being me. And my kids are that way too. But since I've been with the center, I found out that it's just being Indian. And I think being Indian is really a great way of life.
I think that's the general feeling about the Indians today, that it is a great way of life.
I wonder if people are just discovering it. They may not be aware of it, because it took me all this time to find out.
Yes, because they didn't live on the reservation. Many of these Indians in the cities now have come off the reservation, haven't they?
And I think they have a tougher time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have a... Like you said, you didn't feel the worth of being Indian until now.
Do you think it'd be correct to make a statement like this? One of the transitions from the 1930s to today is that the Indian, on a whole, has gotten a keener and deeper appreciation of what he is.
Yes, I think so. Their self-image is way better than it was.
What?
Their self-image is much better than it was. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that you're being discriminated against because you are an Indian?
The Indians haven't come as far. They haven't advanced as far as the blacks are. And I think when it comes down to discrimination, I think the Indian is still the bottom. Don't you? I do.
Well, it was very interesting last night. A couple of women from our neighborhood stopped and talked. They were black, and they just never realized that the Indians were as discriminated against. They didn't understand that. They look at us like we're white. Mm-hmm. And I said, but that's wrong, because we aren't white. We're Indian, and we want to be identified as Indians. Mm-hmm. And we're proud of it. And I said, and yet a lot of whites don't realize they can be talking right to our face about Indians and not know that we're Indians. Mm-hmm. And they don't know the hurt that they're causing. Mm-hmm. And it is hurt, and that's what discrimination is. Mm-hmm. It's the hurt against another race.
Mm-hmm. I think it's an advantage to go into a group where you're the only Indian and they don't know that you're Indian, mm-hmm. and to find out how much they know. It's really, you know, we had to go to these family living things, I think it was called, before the children could
be baptized, huh?
Or make their first communion or be confirmed.
Is that right?
And we had to attend 6 meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the second meeting. They took care of the alcoholics. Mm-hmm. They just went on and on about what terrible homes the kids came from that had either one or both of their parents that were mm-hmm. alcoholics. Mm-hmm. And I let them go on, and when they were done, I said, I just didn't think that was right, because I didn't feel that my children were that aware of the fact that my husband had a drinking problem. And at the time, he belonged to AA, and he still does,
mm-hmm.
and he's been dry for 9 years. And after I said that, out of the 6 couples that were there, mm-hmm. 3 of the men belonged to AA. Mm-hmm. Well, like about the 4th meeting, they took care of the black problem, and as soon as they took care of that and had it solved, then they were going to solve the Indian problem. And I just sat and listened.
Yes.
And it was absolutely amazing in all the things that they knew. And then Father Garvey came in, and he heard what was being said, and he didn't want to say, you know, you better watch out, she's Indian. So he says, I think we should be careful what we say, because there may be one here that's non-white. And when he got done with that, I just told him that I really wanted to see what they had to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm learning so many things. I said, Indians have been getting money every month from the government. And I said, I feel left out. I've never gotten it. My parents have never gotten it. And their parents never got it. And I'd like to know where to apply. And I'm sure one of these learned people would know.
Sure.
But see, no one knew.
Well, of course not. No, it's just one of those things they say.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised at all the facts that they had. It was amazing. Then after they realized I was Indian, all kind of put a damper on things. I really wish Father Garvey hadn't said anything.
Or you would learn more.
Yeah, I would have. I probably would have been getting that money every month.
Do you think that the Indians will ever combine for redress or recognition like the blacks have?
Unite all tribes? I think they
should. Well, for instance, in the city here, you have many tribes represented, haven't you? Do you think they would ever come to an agreement? Maybe in the city they would, but I'm wondering about the reservations.
It would be nice if they would, yes. But I think there's a lot of competition between tribes and reservations.
You see, that's one thing. The Indians have that that magnificent independence, which is theirs, which is part of their bringing up. The blacks never had that because they were really, what's living today is were slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Indians never were. The Indians were, the damaging thing was that everything was taken away from them, you know. But in themselves, I think they're a noble people and always have been. Their ancestors certainly were, but that isn't true of the blacks, is it? As you look forward, for instance, to the life of your children, what do you think is going to be? What do you think is going to be their life? Do you think they'll go back completely to the Indian religion or just simply share? What's good in the Indian religion and still be Christians?
I think you should answer that. I don't really know much about religion. My grandfather was practiced grand medicine, but I was so young.
Your grandfather practiced grand medicine?
John Coleman.
I don't know that much about Indian religion either. I think
I just remember a few little things that Grandma told me. She said that when Toto, that was her youngest, was little, he got he must have had probably pneumonia or bronchitis. It was a respiratory thing from the way she described it. They had taken him into the hospital at White Earth. And the doctor at White Earth said that there was nothing that could be done to take him home.
Oh.
And that, you know, that was just it. So she took him home, and his dad called the grand medicine man.
Mm-hmm.
And he came, and I don't know if I'll get this all right, but he came, and he put a bone here on Toto's chest, and he put the other one in his mouth, and he pulled something out of there, and he gave it to my grandmother and told her to do something with it outside.
Uh-huh.
And the next day it was like Toto had never been sick.
Uh-huh.
And I know that's true because she wouldn't lie.
Yeah. Well, they tell those stories.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, it's so difficult to know what happened because it was a physical thing. But sometimes when their minds are disturbed and they give them some treatment, you know that it's psychosomatic. They've just simply, you know, I can be terribly, I lost a sister a year ago. She was also Benedict, not in Bismarck. I got there in time before she died. She had a heart attack. But it took me so long to get over it. And I have another sister, a Benedict, and she's in the infirmary at St. Benedict. She said, what you need is some psychiatrist to clear out your head. And I said, what would he do? She said, it's high time for you to not forget Sister Ione, that was her name, the one that died, but to remember, if we believe that there's an eternity and that's where we go as a reward, don't you suppose Sister Ione is up there now? And what are you always grieving about it? Well, I was lonesome for her, you see. But
I mean, it's that kind of thing. If a medicine man came and commotioned over me, you know, maybe I want to come out of this, but I'm not going to let everybody know that I had it all, it was all in my head.
Yeah.
Or maybe I have a stomachache and it's all in my head. So, I mean, there's such a, I think there's that kind of thing. But you wonder
it's
about
it's still a very
physical.
Real illness, whether it's in your head or not.
Right.
Did you know the nun that was at Red Lake? Her last name was Swick. Her first name could have been
Rita? No, it's her brother just died. Wasn't he the policeman that was shot?
Yes, the policeman that was shot.
Yes, I know whom you mean, but I can't think of her name right now.
You know, she hated that when she first went up there.
She hated Red Lake?
She hated being sent up there. She wanted to stay where she was.
Yeah.
And after she got up there, I forget how long she was there. I think about 4 years. And when she left, she liked it.